Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW share number 118. That's Ba'is Panimi, share for women, share number 118. And we're talking about the infatuation stages of love, the first stage of love in many cases. And you don't need a tremendous amount of studies to convince us that sexual energy runs very high in the infatuation state. Neurologists report that the sexual euphoria accompanying infatuation is a direct result of this love cocktail in the brain, which stimulates libido, raising interest in sex, making sure dopamine makes sure you're more sexually responsive, increasing your enjoyment of it, making you want it again, and being swept away. There's a shot of like speed at all. Really, basically, this concept, and this is why the Chazal are so wise beyond belief, because it's coming from Hashem himself. This idea of the separation and being careful with male-female interactions, because this we're just friends, doesn't last in many cases and falls into a tremendous sexual abyss of very dangerous behaviors where you're actually throwing away your whole life. And you know, it looks great at the time. You're receiving all this time, this attention. You're waking up in the morning, you're full of energy and love and sexual energy, and you believe you found your zivig, your true soulmate, and you live happily ever after. And don't mistake this temporary power surge for the permanent condition and confuse it with true love. Very often people do. And it's a disaster. And it's a disaster. So this is a very important thing. Now, Hashem placed it in the design of the universe as part of their genetic code in order for them to marry, in order to be an attraction, to push us towards choosing a mate. And that is a very fascinating concept, how Hashem made it this way. We Hashem took away the Yetzer of Arayis from family members, like brothers, sisters, and the like. And there's Chachma Nifla with that, of where Hashem created it this way. I'm not going to get into the physical studies that she goes into, but how opposites attract, this concept is part of the scientific DNA of how Hashem made it, where you are attracted very often to someone very different than you. And that's where you have this chemistry. And the initial physical attraction between two people has more to do with biology than with love. See, that's a very important thing to know, and that's why people could sometimes get very misguided when they're dating or when they meet somebody. Yes, it's true. Attraction helps you focus on the mating efforts of choosing a wife and so on and so forth. So it's not to be discounted. It's there for a reason. But one needs to know the proper measure of it, because if you don't recognize that it has its pitfalls, you could really, really get into a lot of serious situations that are negative. Because the fact that you're compatible genetically, or that you are, you know, the opposites attract, that doesn't mean that it's a good relationship. You could run the risk very highly of attracting a real lowlife, or someone that's a real problematic in their midos. Just because you have chemistry with someone doesn't mean they'll make a good mate. It doesn't mean that it's a good person. It doesn't mean that it's for you. So yes, it guides you along the way, this chemistry, this infatuation, to a degree, to get you to have that warm feeling, and then you build on, even in the dating process, towards real goals and real aspirations, and seeing that you're connecting that way. But if you ignore all that and just take the infatuation or the attraction in and of itself, that leads to disaster. So it's very, very important to understand that. That is the idea. You know, you have, even in the movies, this is the sick part about movies. They give you this wrong impression. There's a movie where, again, this lady's looking for a lady's room in the restaurant, and she, by mistake, goes into the wrong door, and she's in the arms of a stranger. A man, mistaking her for his mistress, grabs her and kisses her, and she's initially startled, but then she succumbs to it, and within 3 minutes, she feels it's destiny. And all of a sudden, she's so happy and thrilled, and we're going to have a future together. And, well, what's his name? He can't even answer. That's infatuation. And the Webster Dictionary, when it talks about infatuated, this is their definitions. Number one, lacking sound judgment, foolish. Number two, carried away by foolish or shallow love or affection. Number three, extrapolating from insufficient information, which basically means you're inferring from unknown data. So this, what I just described, is taking an experience, being attracted to a person as a biological fact, and then coming to the conclusion that this is my soulmate. I'm in deep love. There's selective memory with this. Very often in a marriage, when think they're having problems later, they tell this author, well, I'm not sure I was ever attracted to them. But really, it's not true. In almost all cases, it's not true. It's just that right now, your current feelings and your current attitudes are coloring your perception of the past. You're bored now with the relationship, so it's difficult to remember when you were excited about the relationship. Your relationship is in a slump now, so it's rough to imagine otherwise. But very often when people get together, there is an initial attraction or it's developed and you just forgot about it because right now you're not in the best place. And the solution is not to make that assumption, I was never attracted to them, but rather to work towards things in a more beautiful way. So here is an example of a couple that went to this author. They were married for 9 years. They were discouraged about their relationship. They had long hours, 2 children. And their time basically together was about taking care of the children, doing chores, sometimes watching television together. And the wife, Cheryl, spoke first. And she said, you know, I often wondered if we were really attracted to each other or if we were just lonely. And Alan, the husband, says, I don't know how you can say that. We were attracted to each other. And the wife says, yeah, we were. And the husband says, well, what about all those love letters you wrote to me and the cards you send? And a smile starts appearing. But Cheryl looks at him with surprise. And then the author, Pat Love, asks them, Alan, do you still have any of those cards or letters? And Alan says, yeah, I think I have all of them. And Cheryl's eyes widen. He says, you do? Where? And he says, it's in the bottom drawer of my desk. And she softens up and she says, I have no idea you had those. And he answers back, I do have them and I can tell you what you said in a lot of them. And they sat in silence for each other and she could tell, the author, that they were seeing each other for the first time in a long time. There's a tenderness there that's healing to the relationship. And she told them, I suggest that tonight after your children are in bed, get out those letters, read them together, and try to recapture those earlier feelings. That's what they did. They caught up. What happened was they got tied up with the pressure of 2 jobs, 2 children, and hitting a low spot because they neglected their relationship. And going back will help them recapture it. So you could go back to those more warm moments to recapture things. Also, like we said, don't worry if that infatuation stage did not happen or to a lower degree. Very often, you start out as friends and then the deeper connection comes later. You know, this infatuation aspects that go overboard in our Western-style romantic ideal is false. Infatuation is not true love. It is not. It helps along, you know, whatever it is. But this is the idea, the difference. Here's a good example, she says, you know. If the two of you have a flat tire on the road, when you're infatuated, all of a sudden it's an adventure. But when the infatuation is not there anymore, it's a nuisance. Very often, infatuation does not go hand in hand with the marriage experience or the dating experience. We're not in Hollywood. Very often, what people call love is not love, it's infatuation. So that's a very important thing to understand and to integrate and to understand, that people who make life decisions based on this euphoria of infatuation will find disappointment and heartache at the end of the road. Families torn apart. Perfectly good marriages abandoned. I'm going to say that again. Perfectly good marriages, potentially good marriages, are abandoned because of this unhealthy, unrealistic expectation of infatuation. Friendships thrown at the wayside, careers destroyed, all because of these brief excitements of altered consciousness, which afterwards creates a long trail of remorse and destruction, which is devastating. So even if things are not looking good right now, don't be blinded by that. Now, what can you learn on the Ta'elas of the infatuation stages, or when you felt that with your husband or wife early on? And even if you didn't have it, it's important to know these things. That in married life, no matter how long you're married, you can make a decision now to make the relationship a priority, to make each other's needs a priority, to give each other time and attention, to touch one another affectionately. Some couples sort of grew out of that, and now it's even awkward to touch each other. Very, very sad. You have to develop that courage and muster it, if this has happened, to reconnect this way and start touching each other affectionately. Start to talk about your future in positive terms. And yes, even flirt with one another. Express your sexual energy. Show appreciation. Laugh, be playful, support each other. Figure out how to work out difficulties in a very pleasant way. Overcome obstacles by working as a team. Showing love numerous times of the day. Accepting the differences between the two of you. Being done l'kaf schus, giving each other the benefit of the doubt. All of these things. So, the idea being, infatuation has a purpose, like we said. In most cases, it only lasts 6 months and then begins to wane. And when it wanes, which it always does, true love starts to happen, but not as a strong feeling anymore. People mourn it. You see, they don't know this, so that when this feeling goes down, they mourn it. They start crying. They're saying, my marriage is lost. I was never in love. Or what happened to us? Something changed. We're distant. And meanwhile, it's none of those things. You're connected. You're deeply connected. It's just that the infatuation stage is over. And we're going to discuss in the next year what she calls the second stage of love, which is called the post-rapture stage, which basically tells you that when infatuation ends, that's when true love begins, but you have to start working at it. And no matter how long you're married, true love can begin. You use the skills, you use the tools, you daven, you ask for siyat d'shmaya, and you will get to that point, be'ezus Hashem, to have a beautiful marriage going forward. Bracha v'atzlacha.